Welcome to the second episode of the Original 11, the Princeton Tiger football podcast presented by the Princeton Athletic Department. My name is Craig Saxon, and I'm your host. Getting closer to the start of the regular season. I always find this week to be the toughest because you've now experienced a weekend of college football, some amazing games, a couple amazing comebacks, and you're still not even looking at a game upcoming this weekend. So, you know, this is a challenging one, I think, for the guys. They're ready to see somebody else, but, you know, school's starting, people are moving in, so at least there's something different going on campus. But, you know, from the looks of practices, it's a focused squad, a good group. And on today's show, we're going to focus on a little bit of the thoughts of our two coordinators, Steve Verbit on the defensive side and Sean Gleason on the offensive side. Both did media conferences during media day recently, and I spent a few minutes with both of them while the other was meeting with the media and just chatting a little bit about, you know, their respective sides of the ball. And, you know, on one hand, you've got somebody who's brand new in the position in Sean Gleason, moving from, you know, working with running backs to now his natural position of quarterback, and also working, you know, calling offensive plays for the first time for Princeton. And then, you know, on the other side, you have Steve Verbit, who was calling defenses when Princeton played at Palmer Stadium, which, you know, was knocked down before some of the members of this team were even born. Quite a contrast, but, you know, two people that certainly have some, on one hand, so have some weapons to work with, and then on the other hand, have some questions to deal with, and questions that they probably won't have answered fully until the season gets started in a week and a half. But, you know, I had a few thoughts that I'm going to share before both interviews. A couple quick things. You can subscribe to the Original 11, as well as TigerCast, LaxCast, and any other Princeton podcast by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can subscribe and get all of these podcasts downloaded through the season. Once the season starts, we'll be doing these weekly, chatting with a player, chatting with an assistant coach to look at the upcoming game, maybe talk about different positions along the season, and then a weekly chat with the radio voice of Princeton football, Cody Cruchel. So a lot of fun things coming up here over the next 3 months. Almost there, as I said, but let's take a quick look at both sides of the ball. Let's start on defense, where, as I mentioned, Steve Verbit is returning to call plays, a job that he had for quite some time, and then he shared defensive coordinator duties with Jim Salgado the last 7 years. Salgado moved to the Buffalo Bills. I'll wish him the best of luck. They'll get started this weekend. And, you know, Steve Verbit will go back to calling plays. And that's part of our conversation here, is just kind of getting back into the swing of calling plays and kind of having a broad perspective of the defense. He's obviously done a brilliant job coaching this defensive line. You look at some of the guys he's put in the NFL, Mike Catapano, Caron Reed, you know, and a number of All-Ivy players likewise. And, you know, certainly he has that type of player on his line this year. And certainly that'll have to be the focus of this defense is Kurt Haluba, obviously somebody we talk about here. But, you know, a couple thoughts on Haluba. I've always had, especially over the last 5 years, you know, the belief that the most important position on a football field is quarterback. I mean, it's probably the most important position in all of sports. But, you know, the next most important spot in my mind, if beyond, past the quarterback, is the guy that's actually rushing the quarterback. You know, if you let a quarterback, especially with the rules now and the way, you know, wide receivers can kind of, you know, be defended or basically be not defended in most cases, if you let a quarterback have time and you know, vision and let him get comfortable, most quarterbacks in this league are going to pick you apart. It's just, it's the way it is. And so to have that one guy that can disrupt everything makes such a big difference. And, you know, Kurt Haluba was a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year honors last year. He's been a top defensive player in this league basically from day one. You know, and now he comes in this year with certainly coming off an all first team All Ivy season, preseason All America, third team All America last year, preseason All America this year. And, you know, he's going to be the focus, certainly, because the rest of the defensive line and those linebackers, a lot of guys were lost to graduation. Henry Schlossberg, Rohan Hilton, Luke Kateras. I mean, those guys weren't necessarily rushing the quarterback, but just the experience that Princeton lost on defense. So, but Kurt Holuba has something special. I mean, he's talented, he's physical, he's got a motor, he's got an energy, and he's somebody that I think can be the next one in that line of Mike Catapano, Caron Reed. You know, there's work to be done, and part of that was physical, and I think when you see him on the field, you'll see that, those physical developments. But, you know, now he has to kind of take another step and really be a dominant force. And that doesn't always mean you're going to have what he did against Harvard last year with that 3-sack, 10-tackle performance. Really one of the best individual defensive performances I've seen in 15 years of covering Princeton football. But he's got to really be the focus of every offense. How am I going to block number 90? How am I going to get in the way of 90? Slow down number 90. And if every bit of focus is on him, that's just going to help everybody else on the defense get a pass, you know, get a lane to rush the quarterback, or you know, instead of being double teamed, maybe single teamed or not even paid attention to. I mean, that's the kind of influence that one type of superstar on a defensive line can have. And, you know, it's going to be important for Holuba to have that kind of impact on teams this year, and I certainly think that's in him. It's what you're seeing right now in the preseason, but you know, those 10 Saturdays are the ones that are going to matter most. The man that's coached him from day one is Steve Verbit, and let's hear from him from Media Day. Steve, let's just start with your position, the group you know the best. Your line lost some pretty talented players from last year, but you return, you know, maybe the best player in the league in Kurt Holuba. What have you seen early in camp that, you know, where has he improved, and how much do you rely on a guy like him?
I mean, it's no question, it's always nice to have great players, and Kurt's done a great job ever since he arrived here. You know, he came in at about 230, now he's about 265. His weight has been maintained. He cut his body fat. He's down to about 11% body fat right now. He's picked up an extra step in his takeoff and his ability to get to the quarterback, and he's considerably stronger than he was a year ago. So he's really developing physically and psychologically, and from a knowledge standpoint, he's one of the hardest workers, if not the hardest I've ever been around.
A couple of the guys that, you know, I can see early in camp that they look like they're going to really need to produce for you on the line are Jake Strain and Matt Hampson. What have you seen from them, and how confident are you that they can really make a difference this year?
I mean, Jake saw a lot of time for us last year. Probably played between 350 and 400 snaps. So he's I look at him as a veteran. Again, a tremendous worker, comes from with a great high school background, and really anticipate him having a good year. And Matt Hampson, you know, a highly recruited player, you know, out of the greater Pittsburgh area, came in with great anticipation. And as a freshman, a lot of guys, you know, it takes a little time to get their feet on the ground, but he developed. He had a tremendous, tremendous offseason in terms of a winter, a very good spring, an outstanding summer. And he's come back considerably larger than he was a year ago, hasn't lost a step. And again, we look for Matt. Matt's going to be everything we thought he would be when he came in as a freshman.
You could rely on that inside linebacker duo of Rohan Hilton and Luke Kateras so much last year. Graduating those two, I know you have guys, you know, Mark Fassadi and Tom Johnson, but, you know, how tough is it to replace two guys like that? And do you have to kind of change your scheme a little bit to replace, you know, in losing those guys?
I mean, Rohan and Luke were outstanding players, obviously, but one being first team, one being second team All-League last year, you know, in the 2016 season. But that's the nature of the game, you know, graduation. You know, good players come, and unfortunately they graduate. You'd like to have them for forever. But the guys we have right now and the depth that we have at that linebacker position, it may be as deep a position as we have on defense. Tommy Johnson has made the transition very, very smoothly from an outside linebacker to an inside linebacker position. you know, John Orr as a backup at either one is big, strong, and fast. And again, a little quiet as a freshman, but came on as a sophomore. Mark Fassati, I mean, Fassati is a very, very, very good player. Unfortunately, he played behind two outstanding players last year. Tremendous leader, tremendous special teams player, very, very hard worker, has a great knowledge of the scheme, and runs very, very well. So at that position, you know, we also have Jack Simcox. We have Tommy Johnson's brother. So right now, I think we're six deep at that position with very, very good depth in terms of overall athletic ability, speed, and toughness. So I like the guys we got, and, you know, it's not going to slow us down a bit from what we do.
I feel like a year ago at this time, we're looking at the cornerback position and saying, well, we lost Anthony Gaffney, you lost John Hill, what are you going to do? And then, you know, somebody like James Gales comes out and is a first-team All-Ivy performer. Now, again, you lose a James Gale, you lose a Marcus Fox. Obviously, having Chance back as a starter helps a lot, but what have you seen in the cornerback position, and does it look like you may have to have a freshman or two step up and impact you?
You know what, you never know. Like you mentioned last year, and you know, we went into the preseason last year really wondering who was going to be the guy. And then we come out against Lafayette and Lehigh, and basically those two teams threw for a combined 1,000 yards against us. And, you know, we've kind of got our head between our tails a little bit. But those guys dug in, and they stepped up. And I think it's going to be pretty much the same with this year's group. You know, you got, you know, T.C. Schneider. You got DeLon Stallworth. You know, so you got C.J. Wall. So you do have a number of young guys that are going to have the opportunity to play some football for us. You know, Chance Melanson, you know, he took over the position the third game of last year, and I thought was outstanding. You know, he did a great job in press coverage. Nobody got over the top. And, you know, it's a combination of a lot of different things. We talk to the defensive line. Every time a pass comes completed, look at yourself in the mirror. You know, because it's on you guys. So, you know, you got to play as a team. So pass defense, not only it begins up front and it ends in the back. But we've got good depth. The guys work really, really hard, and they've made plays all during the course of spring. So, I mean, we'll be okay at that position.
It's been a long time since you haven't put Dorian Williams out on the field to start a game. I know we saw a lot out of T.J. Floyd. I mean, he contributed a lot as a freshman, but you know, a little more responsibility for him, some responsibility for Ben Ellis taking over for a Sam Huffman. That back line, especially in the Ivy League where teams are throwing like crazy, such an important position. You got such great play out of it last year. Are you happy with what you're seeing right now?
Yeah, we're pretty good inside on the back end. You know, Ben Ellis coming back, he was just getting into position early in the season to start splitting time at that strong safety position, and then he broke his hand, so it slowed him down. But he's you know, he's a very tough and physical young man with very good athletic ability, and he runs well. Great sense for what we're doing, and a very, very good communicator. And T.J. Floyd, T.J. played 400 snaps last year. I mean, he's a very, very good football player. So he made some big football plays for us as a true freshman. Now, instead of the guy that gets the calls, he's the guy that makes the calls. And he's done some good things during the course of preseason. No question, we love Dorian. We'll always miss Dorian. He was a great football player for us. But we do have some good young men that have worked very, very hard in terms of from a physical speed and communication standpoint and are ready to step up and do the job for us.
Calling plays is not new for you, but it's something that, you know, with Coach Salgado over the last few years has handled that. You go back to that responsibility. Did it change your offseason at all? Do you have to kind of go back and look at the defense more as a whole, and kind of how has that changed your own, you know, I guess, preparation for this year?
I mean, it really hasn't changed any preparation, because you've always got to have a great sense for the opposition, and you never know what's going to happen during a ball game in terms of if the guy that is calling the plays or calling the signals is he may go down. You just don't know what can happen. All of a sudden, the headsets may go out. So it's got to be that same preparation. We can never lose a step. So you always got to be ultimately as prepared as you possibly can be for each and every game, not only at your position, but at both the second and third levels. So excited to do it again. Always a fun thing to do, and look forward to having a great 2017.
You know, we're going to talk about this during the year, but this is the 20th year of the stadium. There's not many people here who are around that first game, but what do you remember about that day? I mean, your defense pitched a shutout, 6-0 win. What memories do you have of that day?
I tell you what, that was one that was one great day. I remember as, you know, the president of the university was speaking at that particular time, addressing the crowd, and then our players came out of the tunnel. And it was set up with a group of alumni, from the youngest to the oldest, that extended through the end zone, up the far sideline, across the far end zone, and into our bench. And as the players came out, and again, it's it almost brings tears to your eyes. It was so much fun. As the players came out, the crowd cheered, just drowned out the president of the university. We jogged, you know, 50, 100, 50, and about 50 back into our home sideline. And it was a very, very memorable event for all involved, not only the players, but also the alumni and also for the coaches. And it was a great day, and the teams played well. And anytime you get a shutout, life is good.
Great talking to Steve Verbit, one of the true legends of the program. You talk about just somebody who's coached generations of talent here, including his own son, who's currently number two on the all-time passing list. And he could get caught this year by somebody I want to focus on before our next interview, and that, of course, is Chad Kanoff. When the announcement was made during the summer that John Lovett would miss time, you know, there was, you know, some understandable panic about this season because of everything that Lovett did. And what he did was historic. You know, it's a player of the year performance. He was the Bushnell Cup winner on an Ivy League championship team. I mean, those are the kind of seasons that stand the test of time. You broke Keith Elias's single season touchdown rushing record. He first team All-American. Scored 7 touchdowns in a game against Cornell. I mean, it was incredible stuff. But lost in it is how good Kanoff was last year. And part of that is based on one number, one column, and that's touchdown passes. If you look at Chad's numbers really over two seasons, but certainly last year, you know, the numbers themselves are impressive. And you know, his completion percentage went up. His touchdown, interceptions continue to be pretty low. He threw 6 last year, and he threw 3 in one game, that early season game against Lehigh that, you know, clearly was a struggle for him. But game that after the press conference or after the game in the press conference, he said, you know, I'll fix this. And he did. 62% for the season, 3 interceptions after week 2, 1,740 yards, just under 2,300 the year before. But he didn't throw a lot of touchdown passes last year. You know, he had 6. And part of that is, once Princeton got into the 10, everybody knew what was going to happen. Princeton knew. The opposing team knew. Fans knew. The ball was going into Lovett's hands. And you know, it was a case of try to stop him, and nobody could. Between Lovett and the offensive line and everything like that, there was not a whole lot of reason to try anything else. And so, but that doesn't mean that, you know, Chad Kanoff was unable to throw touchdown passes. And you know, if you take that away, which, you know, for some amount of this season, it will be, you know, I think we'll see this offense open up a little bit more. I mean, they're not going to go completely away from themselves. They do still have a strong offensive line. They have running backs like Charlie Volker and you know, Ryan Quigley and Colin Edie, who I'm excited to see. But, you know, I think we're going to see a little bit more out of this passing game this year. And you watch Kanoff when he's locked in. I mean, there are games that he was locked in. And then you watch him in this preseason. He looks like somebody that can have one of those seasons, one of those big numbers, win a big game in the fourth quarter seasons. And he's got inexperience at wide receiver. You have Jesper Horsted, but then you're going to have a lot of guys you're working in. He doesn't have Scott Carpenter. Doesn't have Joe Radigan. Doesn't have, for however long, John Lovett. So it's a lot on him. But he has the talent, and he has the composure to do something special this season. I'm really excited to see kind of how he fares early and as he gains some chemistry with his receivers, how this offense goes. And then part of that kind of works with, you know, this next interview with his new offensive coordinator. For 7 years, this offense has been coordinated and run by James Perry. And you know, Sean Gleason comes from the tree. Okay, he's definitely a James Perry guy, but he's his own man. He's going to call games the way he sees, and he's got different pieces that James ever had. So you can't even say, well, what would James Perry do here? Well, we don't know. We don't know because James Perry didn't have this specific offense. Sean Gleason does. And, you know, you get the sense from this interview and from other conversations with him, from his first, you know, interview on GoPrincetonTigers.com, we're going to be fast. We're going to be physical. We're not changing who we are. That hasn't – he's never wavered from that. He hasn't in the preseason. So there's a lot of really exciting things, a lot of unanswered questions that I think will be fun to watch over the first couple weeks of the season, and then kind of how this offense clicks for around that week five area where now it's just Ivy League games. It's going to be interesting, but I'm telling you, Chad Kanoff is somebody to watch. He has the chance to do something special this year. And you know, whether he does or doesn't is going to have a lot of factors, including just how he plays in the big moments and how, you know, he helps these receivers come along, because he will need to help these receivers come along. That's going to be part of his responsibility as the quarterback, as the senior, as the captain. But this is going to be an offense to watch, and I'm really excited to see kind of how Chad functions in it, how Sean Gleason functions in it, and how those two kind of build off each other to hopefully make something special. That was obviously a big part of our conversation from Media Day with Sean Gleason. You can hear that right now.
Sean, you know, new position for you, taking over quarterbacks, taking over offensive coordinator. Let's just start with that. Your own preparation for this year, has it changed now that you've got the coordinating duties? And you know, how do you kind of see yourself as compared to, you know, the coach that you worked with, James Perry?
Yeah, I think, you know, just like an in-house thing, but it was great preparation. We all watched the film as a staff. So for the past 4 years, though I wasn't coaching quarterbacks, you know, obviously all the foundation that I built, having, you know, been a friend of James's for the last 10 years or, you know, since really 2003, really, you know, we always talked about quarterback play. But then having come here in 2013, when we sit in there as a staff, it's hard as a former quarterback to kind of ignore the quarterback play that's on tape. And we would always dialogue about decision making for the quarterback, whether it was practice tape or game tape. So I wouldn't say like that part of my coaching tree or my coaching background had kind of expired in those months and years when I was coaching the running backs, because I was still exposed to it when we all watched the film as a staff. So I'm you know, I'm not as rusty as maybe you might assume, but I'm really enjoying getting back in with those guys, and it's a tremendous room. I think they're all very intellectually capable, and it's just a matter now of kind of fleshing that out as we get through training camp and get a lot of reps under our belt.
Year one with the quarterbacks, and you get somebody like Chad Kanoff, all Ivy quarterback, two-year starter, now two-year captain. What have you seen from him in this preseason, and how important does he have to be for this offense?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. So it's unique to get a fifth-year quarterback who's played as much as he has kind of seen everything under the sun, whether it's our own defense giving it to him in the spring or at practice, but also in the years in which he started in the Ivy opponents and the various changes that those defenses have undergone in that time. But I would say unique to Chad and not unique to just a fifth-year quarterback, he's an exceptionally bright kid between the years. He almost never misses, you know, a scenario in practice where the defense brings a pressure that we didn't anticipate, and we had just a few days ago, a call on that wasn't really conducive to that particular pressure, and he managed the game flawlessly at that point. Like, it wasn't one of these ones where something went wrong and then after I had to teach him, he handled it without much, without answers to the test. He got it right, and it was just a great thing to see. So I think he's an exceptionally bright kid. We're hoping now through training camp that I just kind of can get him playing a little bit more urgent throughout the course of practice and for an entirety of a game, because he's so calm under pressure, and that's a great thing. But when you want him to put his foot on the gas in the no huddle, I think some of that doesn't come natural to him. So we've really been emphasizing that throughout the course of training camp.
This team had a situation last year where almost once you got inside the 10, everybody in the stadium, including the opposing team, knew what was going to happen, and nobody could stop it. You know, until you get John Lovett back on the field, does it change kind of how you have to run inside the 10? And you know, how have you, obviously it's something you've already worked on. Have you been pleased with kind of the overall red zone execution?
Sure, yeah. You know, I think the same questions could have been asked a few years ago after Quinn left. And, we still named the personnel grouping after him. He was unbelievably productive. Never maybe thought that another guy could come along and do the same thing, and look what John's done. So the coaches here on this staff, I have great faith in. We will always adapt to our personnel. And, that to me is going to be the key to our success, is finding the guys that are trustworthy that we can put in those situations and continue to be productive the way that we have been, which is really, I think, probably the most striking thing about our offensive success in the last 4 years in particular is how well we do down there. So we'll throw a bunch of things up against the whiteboard and see what sticks. And, I'm expecting those guys to really try to, duplicate and exceed what we've done in years past.
You're coming from the running backs position, so obviously you've seen everything from Charlie Volker. With the graduation of Radigan, with Lovett missing some time, does it feel like this could be a breakout year for him?
Yeah, I told the guys earlier too, I hope it's a breakout year for everybody. Charlie, I'm very pleased with having run track for a few successive years, and metabolically been a track athlete after football season until we come back for camp. He is in strikingly better lateral shape. I mean, his feet and the way that he's cutting in this training camp is making all of us very excited. He's got to continue to do that. But whether it's him or guys like Ryan Quigley, I think that, with the absence of Joe Radigan, we'll have to fill some reps there. But I feel pretty good about that group and the things that they've done so far.
Line returns a lot. First team all Ivy guy and Mitch Swigert leading the way, but still a lot of returning experience. How much of a strength does this offensive line need to be?
Yeah, I think the two things that you choose if you're building a team, selfishly I'd start with the quarterback, but then after that I'd start with a pretty great O-line. And I think that the work that Coach Arik has done, and then previously Coach Morrissey in recruiting some of these guys, we've got tremendous depth. We have a lot of guys that we can trust right now. It's just a matter of putting together and, putting our best foot forward. I think that guys like George Atiyah, if I could pick a model for the group, absolutely, transformed his body in the offseason. I played a lot of football for us last year, but, a year ago we weren't talking about, these are the same guys now. A year ago we were not talking about the same thing. So the strides they've made since last year and having played, particularly Riley Radicevich as a freshman, all that experience that he's gained, we're expecting those guys to be a solid group up front.
You graduated the likes of James Frashani and Trevor Osborne and Isaiah Barnes and Scott Carpenter. I mean, big-time options in the passing game. I know you have guys you're confident in. Jesper Horsted certainly showed a lot. We saw Graham Adamidis catch a couple touchdowns. But, where is the passing game right now in terms of receivers?
Yeah, I think, though, it's just a matter of how you get your best guys out there. I know that traditional conversation about passing the football revolves around wideouts and tight ends and things of that nature. But really, it's a matter of us, just like we did with John a year ago. John's one of our best athletes. How do we get him on the field? What are we going to do in the run and pass game? So, we're in training camp right now trying to figure out what the best combination of our best players are. And whether it's running the football or throwing the football, we'll for sure put our best 11 out there. And that could be two wideouts, that could be three wideouts. We're still figuring that thing out. But I'm pleased right now with the way, just like George Atiyah, Steven Carlson has worked his tail off in the offseason. I think Jesper right now is kind of adjusting to, again, coming off a baseball season. So, we're still figuring that out, but I like the way the guys are working right now.
I have to assume when James Perry went to Bryant, he didn't take fast and physical offense with him. Is that your plan to keep this offense rolling and keep it moving?
Yep, attack, right? We want to be on the attack. We're going to be fast, physical, and I told these guys, you can't play this sport. You know, this is an emotional sport. You can't play it without being hungry. So we're going to be fast, physical, and hungry this year. That's what we want to put out there.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Original 11. We'll be back next week as we start our in-season Thursday editions. We'll have player interviews, coach interviews, conversations with Cody Kruschel. Looking forward to, you know, the next game, you know, talking about the previous game as we go throughout the season. Really looking forward to what we can do with this podcast this year. As a reminder, you can subscribe by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or your favorite podcast device. You'll get the Original 11 as well as Tigercast and Laxcast and all the other big podcasts that we produce through Princeton each year. Thank you for listening to the Original 11.